We too are very glad to be here in Sunday School this evening, albeit with some nervousness. I don't think that ever I've spoken in Spanish and an English word has slipped out, but I know I've spoken in English and a Spanish word has slipped out, and it just so happens that Sunday School was one of those places. So, just brings back a little bit of nervousness when you come to a place like that. And certainly is nice to be together with another young man in the ministry meeting. This business of him being younger than me, don't you believe that? We're the same age. At least it's convenient sometimes to say it that way. Short meditation in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, please. And we're just going to read verses 29 and 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In the Gospel of Matthew, there are specifically two calls to discipleship, and we have read one of them this evening. They come in very distinct places in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, when he's dealing with a rising opposition. In fact, when we come to chapter 11, it's where the opposition begins to get heated. And then as we go through the remainder of the gospel, we're going to come to chapter 16 and verse 24, where the second time the Lord Jesus Christ is giving a call to discipleship to those that are around him. And soon after that, he's going to give his discourse on the program for the future and go on to Calvary. But not only are there at least two distinct calls to discipleship, in each one of those cases, he is going to ask them to take up something. When we come to chapter 11 and verse 29, it's to take the yoke. When we come to chapter 16 and verse 24, it's to take the cross. Take up the cross and follow him. I would like to notice this evening seven details of the yoke that we find in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. This yoke is obviously an instrument of labor that was well used in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. We would still frequently see it in the fields of Mexico as we drive from place to place. The yoke that they use on the animals to still break the land, to plant their seed, even in time to harvest the crop and to haul stooks together in a bunch to be able to gather their grain. Now when it comes to this yoke, can I suggest that when we come to verse 28, we're going to see a picture of salvation. And so verse 29 is going to be the step that follows a picture in discipleship. So he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. The very first thing that I want to notice about the yoke is that it will teach us something of the course of the Lord. That is, he is asking us to take up the yoke and to place that yoke on ourselves. And this instrument of labor is going to be placed on our shoulder around our neck. And we're going to learn the course of the Lord because we're going to be walking side by side with him. I'm glad that Brother Marcus this evening began the meeting speaking of communion, if you want to put it that way. And now we're going to speak about the service that we can give to our Lord. And so, as we place the yoke, we're going to walk where the Lord walks. There are times where it would be much easier, or at least humanly speaking, to cast off the yoke There are many times when even though the yoke is placed, it just seems to be inbred to pull against the yoke. But we're going to learn the course of the Lord. He says, take my yoke upon you. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to walk with Him. He wants to take us in the way that He wants us to go. Not the way we want to go. But He's going to take us to the place that He wants us to go because He knows what is best for us. And so He's going to say to us, take the yoke. And so we're going to learn something of the course of the Lord by placing the yoke on our neck. When we come to this yoke again, I want to notice something of the companionship of the Lord. Because I notice that it's the Lord's yoke. You see, we can read the verse like this. Take the yoke. Mine. In the mind of the Lord, there was never a thought that we would take up another yoke. Take the yoke. And He says, it's mine. So we're going to learn companionship with the Lord. You see, when we come to the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, there is another yoke. There's a yoke of bondage. And the Apostle Paul is speaking to people that have placed themselves under this yoke of bondage. And it was never in the Lord's plan that after the gospel had been preached that they would go back and take that yoke of bondage and place it on themselves again. To be bound to the law and not to the Lord. To be bound to these rules and regulations instead of having a relationship with the Son of God from heaven. And so we're going to learn companionship as we walk along. And like Marcus said, that when we spend time with that person, we're going to learn something about that person. You see, he's going to walk with us as we're yoked together, and it's not always going to be over smooth roads. It might be stony places. It might be thorny fields. But we're going to walk together with the Lord, and we're going to have His companionship as we walk together. It is most interesting. As we see people that walk together, you know, the more they walk together, the more they seem to keep in step. They almost begin to walk the same step. That is, at least if they're both the same size. There's a dear brother in Samora. He's, probably about 16 inches shorter than I am. And when we were visiting at times, and we were going to different places, he would often accompany me. There was a time when we had to pick up an electric motor in the town of Samora. And we had left a few minutes late, something that Marcus would never do. But we had left a few minutes late, and we stopped to get the motor. And I decided I needed to hurry to get it. And as I'm walking quite quickly down the street, I suddenly hear this man from behind me shout, "What did Joel Portman say to you?" And I look behind me, and the man is just running along the street to try and keep up to me, because he remembered that one time in Samora as we were walking, Brother Joel Portman had said to me, "Brother, it's hard to keep up your pace." So now this little man was walking along, and he's trying to keep up to me. But you see, when two people begin to walk together, they at least try to keep up with each other. But the Lord Jesus Christ knows the pace that we can take. And so we're going to learn His companionship as we're yoked together with Him. He says, take the yoke, my yoke. And He's going to give us His companionship. When we come to this yoke again, I do believe that we're going to learn character. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. I would think that meekness and humility are two of the character traits that are hardest to learn. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ says, take my yoke upon you. Take the yoke, mine. Learn of me. This is the reason that I want you to learn from me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Now if one of us were to say that would sound like pride. But when it comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus, it's absolute truth. He's the King of meekness. And He's the Prince of humility. And so there's character that we're going to learn when we place this yoke on our neck. The character of meekness is exactly what was described of the King in later chapters in this Gospel, chapter 21. The King, He's entering into the city, and He's meek, and He's riding upon an ass, upon a foal, the colt of an ass. And so the meekness is describing the King. This meekness is what is the ornament of the spirit of a godly sister in 1 Peter chapter 3. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us, you take my yoke. And this is something you'll learn. You'll learn meekness. But not only are you going to learn meekness, because the meekness would come with this very idea of the yoke. When you place a yoke upon animals that aren't broken, oh, the fighting, oh, the wrangling, to get those animals docile, to get them to walk together with another animal. You see, this lack of meekness is what's going to cause one to run ahead of the other, one to pull away from the other, one to buck against the other. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, when you put on my yoke, there's one thing that you're going to have to learn. It's meekness. Because we're going to walk together. You see, you know that meekness just simply means strength under control. It's not that the Lord just wants to see us as a bunch of weaklings tied to a piece of wood. He wants to use our strength. And He wants to take it along the way of discipleship and service for Him, the way that He wants and is best for us and is honoring to Him. And so we need to learn meekness. But we're not only going to learn that, we're going to learn this humility. So if meekness is strength under control, humility isn't so much thinking less of ourselves or little of ourselves. Someone has well said, humility is not thinking of yourself at all. That's real humility. You see, we can become so filled with this false humility. Oh, really, I'm nothing, you know. I really can't do that. And I really would prefer that you'd ask someone else. And I just can't do it. This guy's got eye problems. I. And all he's taken up is himself. So what he is calling a humility is a false humility. He's just all occupied with himself. Humility is not thinking of yourself at all. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, we're going to walk the two of us together. And I'm going to think of how he steps so that I can step like him. And I'm going to pull like he pulls so that we can pull together. And I'm going to turn where he turns because he knows where we need to turn. And I'm going to walk straight on where he walks straight on. Because the Lord knows. I'm going to learn character by putting on the yoke of the Lord Jesus. Some character it'll be if I don't put on the yoke of the Lord Jesus. And so, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. When we come back to the yoke, I want to notice that there is a cargo with this yoke. It would seem obvious, maybe, that if they're going to place a yoke on animals, it is because they are going to pull something. In our mind, most likely it's a farm implement. It could well be that they're going to yoke animals together to pull a cart. It could well be that they're going to yoke animals together to pull a carriage. But with the yoke comes its purpose, and that is for it to pull that load. It's not a matter of just putting a yoke on two people or on two animals and letting them walk around like that. There's the purpose that they have, and so we're going to learn something of the cargo that he places along with the yoke. In this case, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us of the service that he has entrusted to each one of us. We are going to carry the yoke to do the service that he has entrusted to us. Why is it necessary that I put on the yoke to be able to do the service of the Lord Jesus? Because if I don't, I'm not going to do that service the way the Lord Jesus Christ would have me to do that service. And if I don't, I'm liable to decide that I can do without meekness and humility. And if I don't put on the yoke, I'm liable to decide that I can do it within myself, and I don't need the help of the Lord. And so he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And then he goes on to tell us that the yoke is easy and the burden is light. And so we come to the burden, exactly that burden that he has placed on you, a service in life. And can I suggest that this ought to be natural Christian living? Normal, everyday experience as Christians. This service that I would do for the Lord, this isn't something that I do for an hour and a quarter on Wednesday night. This isn't something that I just set aside an hour or two on the Lord's Day morning and another hour on the Lord's Day evening if it suits me. This is something that I would do every day of my life. It's a service that I take from the Lord and I put on the yoke, and together we're going to be able to do it. So he says, take up the yoke. He exhorts us to take up the yoke. This service that we're going to do, this burden that he asks us, whether it's to be a sister that is occupied in service for the Lord by helping others every single day of her life, or whether it's the grand, grave service of being an elder in the assembly and carrying a burden for the Lord every day, I place the yoke on my shoulders. And along with the Lord Jesus, know this, I have his companionship with me as I pull along. Or whether it's to be a testimony at school to those that are around me every day by my life, and when the opportunity presents itself, by my lip, to give testimony to the Lord Jesus. Or whether it's to be a constant testimony in my place of work for the Lord Jesus, a service that he has given to me that I might do for him, he just simply asks that I would take up the yoke and do it with him. So he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. There's a cargo that comes along with the yoke. Don't think it's just a matter of having to place the yoke. It's a matter of pulling the load. You know, the famous picture of the little twin boys on the prairies that was made so famous when the mother dressed up the boys in the wagon and put the little calf in the wagon, and one of the twins was in the front and one of the twins was in the back, and the caption on the poster for all those years when we were kids was, the little fellow at the front was telling the boy at the back, are you pushing or pulling back there? It's a matter of pulling together. You go together. But the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't find that he wants to walk ahead, and we're either pulling backwards or sideways or not at all. He says, take the yoke. And by taking the yoke, that is a decision of submission to the Lord, but a decision that I am willing to go. I'm willing to work. I want to put on that yoke and do what the Lord Jesus Christ asks me to do. Not only do we have the cargo there, we would have in this yoke, I would like to suggest the calm. He says, you shall find rest unto your souls. The calm in Christian life by putting on the yoke. It must be a miserable Christian life to be disobedient all the time to the Lord Jesus. It must be terrible to have to live with a guilty conscience, knowing that the Lord really wants me to do something, and really I don't want to. The calm that comes in Christian life by doing
what the Lord wants. I was thinking of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Let the peace of God arbitrate in your life. The peace that comes from God. Oh, the sweet calm. In the midst of the storm, knowing that I'm here because I'm yoked together with Christ, and Christ has led me in, and Christ will lead me out, and we will go together. So we place the yoke, and we notice the calm that would come by placing that yoke. Can I suggest that this yoke is also a costly yoke? He says, for my yoke is easy. Now when we come to Luke chapter 5 and verse number 39, this word easy is translated better. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking about wine. He said, anyone who has tasted the new knows that the old is better. And that's the word easy. Can I suggest that this is a better yoke than other yokes? This is a costly yoke because this is a yoke that was especially made by the Master for this person. This is a better yoke. This is a costly yoke because the Lord Jesus Christ, He knows this yoke, what it needed to do. I guess I'm thinking of the carpentry shop in Nazareth. And he's taken finer wood to make this yoke. He has taken more time to form this yoke. It's a costly yoke. It's not a yoke, the everyday yoke. The Lord Jesus Christ says, this is mine, and I want you to notice something about it. I want you to appreciate something about this discipleship, that this is something that I have designed. And this is better than just doing what you would like to do. It's a costly yoke. He says, but my yoke is easy. Better? But can I suggest that not only is it better, or a costly yoke, the seventh detail that I would like to recognize about this yoke is that there is a comfort in the yoke. You say a comfort in the yoke? How on earth do you get that out of this yoke? Because the Lord Jesus has said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This word easy in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 is translated kind. Be ye kind one to another. You see, there's a comfort found in this yoke that can be found nowhere else. Come with me again, if you will, to the carpenter shop in Nazareth. The Lord Jesus has gone and he has cut a specific tree. And he has brought the wood into the shop and he has laid it in his shop to dry for a period of time. And from that log he has sawn a plank. And now he takes that plank to his bench. And on the bench he will begin to use the saw. And he will begin to form a yoke. I think of this, that there is a farmer that comes from
the prairies of Nazareth,
from the hills of Nazareth, and he brings his two animals to the front of the carpentry shop, and the maker of those animals knows exactly the size of the neck and has precise details of where the bones on that animal are and how tall the shoulder is and how wide he needs to make
the arch in that yoke.
And the Lord Jesus tells the farmer, come back this afternoon at 3 o'clock and I'll have your yoke ready. And he goes to work and he takes out his chisel and his plane and he takes out the sandpaper and he smooths down that plank. He shapes that yoke to the exact dimension of the animal that he made. And now he makes a yoke to fit those animals. And when he's just about done, he does what every good carpenter used to do. He takes the sandpaper and turns it over backwards and he uses the paper to file off all of those last little burrs and make it perfectly smooth. And the farmer comes back at 3 o'clock and the Lord Jesus takes that yoke off his bench and he goes and sets it on those animals. There hadn't been carpentry done in Nazareth since the day Joseph died like that carpentry. And the Lord Jesus, who knew those animals that he had created, he could make a yoke that fit exactly. There was never a time when the blood ran down the shoulder of the ox because it would just rub them raw. There was never a time where it pinched his neck because it was just too sharp in one place. There's a comfort in taking this yoke of the Lord Jesus because he made it exactly for you. And he made it exactly for me. And unless I wear that yoke, I cannot be fully satisfied in my Christian life. He has said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. There's a comfort. It's just comfortable to wear that yoke. One of the brethren in Portage used to say, just like putting on an old shoe. Fits. There's a comfort in that yoke because the Lord Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's light not because it's going to be altogether without pain, altogether without work, but it's light because of who we're with. And it's light because of the purpose of the weight that we're carrying to take it on, to do his will. I'm going to stop with the yoke. There is that other occasion where the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of discipleship. Can I suggest this? In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, we're to take up the yoke and work. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, we're to take up the cross and walk. There is another reference to discipleship in a different context in the Gospel of Matthew. That would be Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Can I just suggest this? Before the Lord Jesus Christ ever commissions them in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, in verse number 18, they went, the Lord Jesus had appointed them a place, they went there and they worshipped. Can I suggest that there the discipleship has to do with taking up our heart and worshiping? And so tonight, there are things we take up. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he teaches us from his word things that he would like us to do. Not every Christian wants to be a disciple. The Lord Jesus wants every Christian to be a disciple. This is a moment of decision in a person's life where they take up the yoke. They put it on and work. May it be that in our lives, the Lord will find us willing to do exactly that.
Let's pray.